to The Common Sense Show with your host, Dave Hodges. We discuss a variety of topics here, including the deep state, the New World Order, Agenda 21. There is no one, no topic beyond Dave's reach, because as you know, you can't dodge the Hodge.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for staying with us into our guest segment. Dave Hodges here. Really glad to be with you. You are listening to The Common Sense Show, and we are the show that is freeing America. I wish I could say one enslaved job at a time, but unfortunately, we haven't been successful in that entirely, but we are freeing America one enslaved mind at a time, and we're really, really happy to be with you. We have a couple of groups that keep the lights on here. Food and water. We have food shortages coming. They're already showing up. 1/4 of all Wendy's can't get beef. And the beef that's coming in from foreign countries is not necessarily beef you're going to want to eat. Can anybody say mad cow disease? Anyway, for that, notice here, food collection is a daily concern for you. When you go by the grocery store, go in and get stuff that'll last, but you just can't eat the same thing. This is why you need our storable food, because there's variety and there's quality and there's no price increase, and it's 25-year shelf life. Go to preparewithdave.com. That's preparewithdave.com. And if you have food, you gotta have water. You've heard our guest coming up here in just a minute, Bob Griswold, say that very same thing. And so you need the water. And you may not have purified water, depending on circumstances. So you got to purify your own water. The Alexa Pure Pro water filter does a really good job. The research on the website shows it's among the best, if not the best. And they're offering the product for 40% off. That's right. You heard me correctly. 40% off. Waterwithdave.com is where you go. So you've got the food, preparewithdave.com. You got the water, waterwithdave.com. And now you've got Bob Griswold with Dave. You know, Bob is the, I think he's the premier source on survivability, what people need to be doing to get through various things. He analyzes these topics on a macro scale, which we're going to do a lot of today with regard to our country, and on a micro scale at the individual level, and that's where his group at Ready Made Resources excels at helping people master and traverse the challenges to survival. In fact, he's the only guy I know in his business who will actually allow you to ask him questions without charging you. Anyway, without further ado, Bob Griswold, welcome to the show. So glad you could join us.
Well, Dave, it's a blessing to be here. I'm glad to be here. And you know, I'm here, Dave, and I want to do a call out right now. I'm here because I had a good mother. I had a good father, but a good mother. And I tell you, I think motherhood is probably one of the highest callings, often one of the most demeaned callings in this country. Mothers are told to murder their babies before they're born. Mothers are taught to pawn their children off to other people to raise them. But, you know, a godly mother, a good mother, is hard to find. And when you find them, and I know there's a lot of godly women and good mothers listening right now, and I just want to say, on behalf of me, I'm the product of a godly mother, a good mother. I want to say thank you to all those mothers out there. My wife is, I mean, I think she's the, I call her out, Roxanne. She's the model of a loving and godly mother. And Dave, without those mothers that have nurtured and raised us guys, we would not be here. You know, I think it was George Washington's mother said, it was a poem, she who rocks the cradle rules the nations. And George, I think, you know, George Washington's mother said something like that to him, you know, but anyhow, you know, she who rocks the cradle rules the nation. So again, on this Mother's Day, just a very strong and hearty thanks to all those mothers out there who have raised men and women, you know, good men and women, role models for society, and men and women that know what's going on today. Well, with that saying, you know.
Yeah, well, Bob, let me add to that too. I no longer have my mom, and this, you know, Mother's Day was a bittersweet day for me. I've got my wife, who's been the more than the mom I thought she could be, and I knew she'd be good. She exceeded my expectations, and I have a wonderful son as a result of that. But, yeah, I miss my mom. So, Mom, I know you're probably listening, looking down. Still love you, Mom. Miss you. It's been 9 long years without you. Someday we'll see you, hopefully a little later than sooner. But you're right, and my mom was patient with me beyond what I deserved. I'm just going to put it that way. I remember one time my sister said to me, "Mom would be really proud of the way you turned out," and she was very proud of you anyway. But don't you just wish that our parents could see the full fruits of their work? And unfortunately, that's not the way life works. But I love you, Mom, and to all you moms out there, I did a YouTube piece on this, a podcast. And I talked about, I think the strongest people in our society today are the women, where I've come across people who are keeping their business open against unconstitutional illegal orders from government. More times than not, it's a woman, like Shelley Luther from Dallas, Texas. And the women have not lost their strength. They've gained in strength, and they've had to, because I think too many men, particularly in the pulpit, have lost their inner strength.
You know, Dave, you know, the scripture says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, you know, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You know, what are we afraid of? Why do we put so much authority on this thing called government? Government, as it's originally intended by our Constitution, is here to serve us. So when it doesn't serve us, it's there to represent us. And it doesn't represent us. It represents themselves. It represents their pocketbook. It represents their self-interest. It represents their children. But it doesn't represent us. And in a government, the equal clause protection that says Walmart can stay open, but mom and pop has to close, even though mom and pop sells groceries or whatever they sell sells. This is unconstitutional to the hilt, and the government is playing winners and losers. To me, it appears that the government wants to put mom and pop businesses out of business, so that they can have, you know, Walmart and all these mega corporations that basically are agents of the government, reporting back to the government. That's the only people they want to have in business. And, you know, our country is going to be changed forever because of this. Big business has squashed little business. I mean, you know, big business contributes to politicians. Politicians are at the beholden to the people that give them the money, the big corporations, and they have squashed the life out of America right now. Yeah. Anybody who cannot see that this is the biblical power grab of the end of the age of creating a global empire, a one-world government, a one-world religion, we see all the elements at play right now, and you just have to understand it. But, and in that, and going back to the men, God has not given you a spirit of fear. If you have a spirit of fear, something's wrong with you. You know, thank God our pastor is a man of God. We have church. I mean, we have church. It's actually open. You can go there.
I don't. And I just issued a warning to all pastors. And I did it to my rather significant-sized audience on my channel, YouTube channel, The Common Sense Show. I said, issue an ultimatum to your pastor. We've lost Easter, yet Ramadan can be worshipped. And I don't begrudge anyone for practicing their religion. You deserve to under our laws. What I begrudge is the divide and conquer, the systematic persecution of Christians. And I did a piece today, Bob said, what would Jesus do? And in other words, would Jesus have the churches open? I think that's a decided issue. But the disciples would too. They paid for their spreading the word of the Lord with their lives.
With their blood. Absolutely.
Of course they would have the churches open. And any pastor, any priest, any rabbi who does not have the guts to stand up to unconstitutional authority that has taken away our God-given rights does not deserve to have one nickel given to their church, does not deserve to have one parishioner in their church. They need to be out of business. And I'm calling for that all week long.
You know, if the pastors in America, if they all got together and said, no, we're not going to obey your laws, Caesar. We are not going to obey your laws. Just like the three Hebrew children, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, said to Nebuchadnezzar, we will not bow down before you. You can throw us in the fire, but we're still not going to bow down before you. We're not going to do this. And this is the spirit we need in this country today, and the pulpits of America saying no, because this has nothing to do with the virus. And I'm not downplaying the virus. But what I am saying is that the virus is being used dramatically to absolutely bring America to its end, to bring about a one-world government, a one-world empire, to be, I mean, the vaccination certificates, I mean, the injections, what they're going to give us, Mark of the Beast stuff, you name it. If you cannot see this is where it's, this is headed right now, I would say you're pretty biblically illiterate and you're historically illiterate. I mean, this is where it's headed. And we need to stand up to this because that day will come. And it's in God's timing when it happens. But I will do everything I can to prevent the forces of evil and darkness from taking over this earth, because when that happens, and I'm just saying this, if the forces that we see at play today, the ones that have lied about Russia, the ones that have lied about everything Donald Trump has done, they're the ones that are doing it, of course. I mean, they're the ones that colluded with the Russians, they're the ones that took money from the Ukraine, they're the ones that are the pedophiles, I mean, all this, they're the ones that are sexual, you know, predators, the child gropers, you know, all those. If we let those people have power, God help this world.
I know.
Because I'm telling you, I don't agree with all Donald Trump does. He's definitely an enigma at times. I mean, you know, he whatever he is, but he does stand up to a lot of the things that we would hold dear to. And when he is out of power, if it's in this November or January, actually, or whenever they have the election, if they have the election, or 4 years from now, these wicked people are going to bring such a spirit of horror on this planet that we can barely conceive it. In fact, it says men's hearts will be failing them for fear of what they see coming, because when they gain power back, they will never let it go. They didn't think Donald Trump would win. You remember all the mocking that was going on? He can't win. Nobody will never win. He'll never win. And then on election night, you know, as he started to win, I mean, you could just see these people absolutely go into meltdowns, and they've done everything since that day to try to end this man's presidency, to tear him down both politically and morally and personally, tear him down, tear down his family, tear down his children, everything. And so with that, we just have to look, Dave, and see right now, you know, the way totalitarian regimes always take control is by destroying infrastructure. I mean, because at that point, when infrastructure is gone, you're beholden to get whatever you can. Dave, you just tried to call me on one of the services, you know, internet services, and you get all circuits are busy. Now, that's granted, that's probably Mother's Day today or a lot to do with Mother's Day, but I can tell you, over the last 3 to 4 months, we've had hundreds of dropped phone calls. I've had hundreds of times when I'm trying to call a customer back or whatever, and I'm getting all circuits are busy right now. I'm having static on the line, like something wrong. You know, I suspect this summer they're going to use roving brownouts. We definitely see, I mean, and this is it, Dave. I mean, if you've waited to buy food too long, I'm telling you, you've waited too long, but you might still be able to get some, so I would not wait another minute. I would order food right now, because if you can't see that, especially the protein, they're going to take the protein out of American diet. Protein is what our bodies need to make us big, strong, muscular, have good, healthy bodies. They're going to take the living, you know, fruits, fresh fruits and vegetables out of our diet. They're going to take all the dairy out of our diet, or lower it down, and they're going to put it back with starches. And when you do that, the human body changes. The brain doesn't work as well as it used to. The muscles don't work as well as they used to. You become more lethargic, all kinds of things, because it's basically you're just dumping lots of sugar in your body. And so this is where this is headed. This is what they've done in every Marxist regime ever. They don't let them have good food. And we've seen it today. I mean, just the proliferation of food that does not feed. I mean, now you go to the grocery store today, Dave, and you're hard-pressed to find good food. Most of the stuff is in boxes or wrappers and bags or whatever. You know, that's why they say always shop the outside aisles. But most Americans today, because of what they've done, can't afford that stuff, real butter. They can't afford a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables, especially organic. Meats. They can't afford meats. So we've seen this destruction of the American diet in the communication. What we just said, they'll break down the communication systems. They've already broken us apart socially. And that is so devastating, Dave. I mean, it, just to break us apart socially, so that we don't want to be around other people. We can't network. We can't get together. We can't encourage one another because we've been broken apart socially. And I would dare say, Dave, it's going to take probably a year or more. If they lifted the ban today and said, okay, everybody can play happy again, it'll take over a year or more for people to get comfortable with being social around other people. I mean, you go to different stores and you see they got the little footprints, you got to stay here while the other guy's there. It's all designed to break us down socially so that we no longer have interaction with other people. I mean, and that is devastating to a society because, again, a political power comes from networking with other people. And they want to break that down. Their people can get together. Their people can do what they need to do. I mean, but they don't want you and I being able to do it. So we see this multifaceted attack right now on the liberty of our country. We see a multifaceted attack on middle America, on its economics, on its ability to communicate, its ability to socialize. In every aspect, we are being attacked. We are literally being put under house arrest with the commission of no crime whatsoever. And that goes all the way back to the Magna Carta. It's a violation of every known rule of law since the Magna Carta in the 1250s. So we see them turning this on their head. We see them committing unconstitutional acts. I look at these different governors. I mean, this one lady governor, I mean, I look at her eyes. And
Gretchen Whitmer?
It scares you.
Oh, yeah, she looks demonically possessed.
Oh, and when you look at her eyes, you just see hate and death. I mean, that's what I see when I look into her eyes. I mean, and you, I don't care who it is. You give those kind of people the power, and they're gonna start putting people in camps. They're gonna start executing people, arresting them, re-education centers, all of that. This is why we must fight. This is why we must have the spirit of boldness, Dave. I mean, again, I said that last time on the program. When Abraham went to go rescue his nephew Lot, who was kidnapped by these evil people in the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah, the first thing he had to have was the moral strength to be able to make up his mind to do it. You know, he didn't cower. He didn't say, well, gosh, I've got to go into the enemy's camp, and they got a lot of swords and spears, and they could torture us, and they could do this and that, yeah, whatever. You know, he just said, no, I'm going to go right into the middle of the enemy's camp and spoil him. And that's what we need. Men and women like that better say, I don't care if you throw me in the fire. I'm going to let my voice count. I'm going to stand for liberty and freedom. I'm going to stand for our constitutional rights. I'm going to stand for our Christian values. And the government can literally go to hell if it's going to try to tell me I cannot, and I mean that as a literal statement, not as a profanity statement, a literal statement that if you think you can tell me I cannot go in fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ, have fun. No, you're not going to do it. And in the end, you might take my life, you might do whatever you do to me, but in the end, you are going to lose, and lose big time, because on that day when you stand before God, the God of the universe, you know, your little buddy Lucifer is not going to be there with you saying, you know, I gave him all this, you know, I gave you all that. No, you're going to be standing there before the God of the universe, and you're going to be found wanting. And when you read what happens to those people, they're cast into the lake of fire. That doesn't sound like a very good future to me, especially when you consider the future is eternity.
It's a hard thing to contemplate, people that don't fear God. But if they don't fear God, Bob, at what point do we make them fear us?
Well, they always have to fear us. Because what's the saying? When the people fear the government, you have tyranny. When the government fears the people, you have freedom.
Yes.
They must always. I don't know who said that, but it's a quote. So I didn't. That's not my quote. It's somebody's quote. We can look it up. But they must always fear us. And that's the thing. We have bestowed too much authority and power on the government. Those people work for us. The people that have just taken $10 trillion. Dave, $10 trillion. Nothing in the history of the universe has ever cost $10 trillion. I was listening to a discussion on the pyramids. You could build the Pyramid of Giza today, they said, I think it was like $50 billion, if you wanted to make it just like that. It was a very expensive project to rebuild the Pyramid of Giza.
Bob, I have a question. We only spent $300 billion on the people. Where is the other $9.7 trillion?
That's the 900-pound elephant in the room, or the 9,000-pound elephant. How much do they weigh? 900-pound gorilla. That's where is it gone? Are they covering themselves? Has this just been the greatest exchange of wealth in the history of the world? Because you know, when they've spent that much money, what's going to happen come past November? They're going to say, "Well, we need to pay for it now." And since the government doesn't have any money, it's you and I will pay for it. They've taken the money. They've enriched themselves. You know, they've given it to people through whatever grants or whatever. Those people end up giving it back to them, a certain percentage of it, to, you know, nefarious purposes, whether it's through nepotism of, you know, hiring cronyism, I should say, hiring their offspring, or, you know, speaking engagements, job positions, or whatever. However they get this money back, they get a substantial amount of it back. I mean, how does Nancy Pelosi get, what, half, $400 million when she's making $189,000?
I have a one-word answer for that. Cartel.
Corruption.
Cartel.
Yeah, corruption. So, I mean, that's what these people do. That's what they've done. So they no longer fear us. And because they no longer fear us, they're just absolutely, they think they can do anything to us. I mean, look what they did to General Flynn. I mean, they were so bold, Dave, that the FBI just wrote down the notes, we're going to try to make this man commit a crime. We're going to try and make him commit a crime. That's how sure they are of their corruption. And yet it backfired on them. And the more people that'll stand up and say, no, this isn't going on anymore. We're not going to stop going to church. We're not going to put these mom-and-pop businesses out, which probably half of them will go out of business. You know, and we want accountability to this $9.5 trillion. What have you done with our money? Where have you spent it? What have you done with it? You know, that's what we need. But, you know, you take that and you take all these other things that agitate. You know, to shift gears right now, this Venezuelan thing to me, you know, stinks.
Bob, before you go there, let me back up to one thing you said, because I want to give your statement all the credence it deserves. The Small Business Administration came out and said they expect 52% of all small businesses to fail in the first 6 months after
the
lockdown is lifted. I know that they're the biggest employer for America. That means the banks are going to go, real estate's going to collapse. That's what this means. And then Cisco, that supplies, you know, to all the restaurants, they're saying they don't see how most restaurants are going to survive given all the social distancing requirements and the debt that they're bringing into the reopenings anyway.
You know, Dave, any good business, and it's a business model we follow, says, okay, I just sold, you know, a $1,000 item, and that $1,000 item cost me $750 to pay for. So that money gets set aside immediately. So I have $250 profit. That's where I live, eat, breathe. That's my profit. That's how I pay for it. So what this is causing those businesses to do is to take that $750 that they buy their steaks, eggs, milk, lettuce, all those restaurant business, and it causes them to use that. It's the same thing as if hunger strikes in the middle of the winter and you eat your seed corn. When comes spring, you don't have any seed corn to plant again. So you starve because the situation is that you've run out of what you would normally have. You're having to rely on your savings, your investment that you use to keep yourself in business. And when that happens, then when the business opens back up, well, guess what happens? You don't have any investment to put back into it. But the government will be there to lend you money, to indebt you to them. And, you know, all we have to do is look at college loans to see that fiasco.
Yes, exactly. All right, let's go to Venezuela. I've talked to five people who've been mercenaries, and there's a consistent consensus with what they've said. Let's see what you have to say on this.
Well, I have two friends that are ex-Green Berets, okay? Very good friends. And one was SOF forces, and the other one was a Green Beret. Both of them have said the same thing. You know, we've seen the Democrats collude with China to destroy Trump. We've seen the Democrats collude with the Ukraine, with Russia to destroy Trump. Now, are we seeing the Democrats colluding with Venezuela to destroy Trump? You know, so I'm gonna jump ahead and finish the story before I go back and pin it. See who rescues these guys. Trump can't. Because he'll look like he's compromised if he rescues him, like he's trying to save his own bacon. So they've set up a perfect scenario, whoever's ever done this, to say, well, we're going to go in and rescue him, and then, you know, all of a sudden, you know, that one guy was evidently on the security Trump security team. So I'm just seeing over the next, I'm waiting and seeing. I'm not saying this is a matter of fact, but I'm waiting and seeing. If they start to say, well, we need to have investigations. We need to see this. We need to, you know, Trump. He sent them down there. You know, he actually gave them their guns. I mean, all this. Now, with that said, I want to drop back. You know, and two of my Special Forces buddies say, okay, you have NODs, which they're sending in the country in a different way, so they're not, they don't, I guess they didn't have all their equipment with them, they were sending it in another way. So they're going to make an assault on Venezuela in a boat in the middle of the day. I mean, no Special Forces operate that way. That was the consensus of the two Special Forces operators I've talked to. That is sheer stupidity to make an assault during the day. I mean, both of them said they should have gone overland into Venezuela. That way, if they were caught, they can disperse into the woods and hide, have rally points. I mean, if you're out in the middle of the great blue ocean, where's your rally point? Where do you hide? You can't. There's no place to hide. So it was just like everything is wrong with this. So I'm just conjecturing, Dave. Did the Democrats collude with Maduro to say let's do this thing to make it look bad and set this up? And they could do it through different avenues so that the operators don't even know they're being played, but they're being played. I mean, I'm not a special operator. I do know people that are, and they've been in the mix. I mean, you know, not just name only. They've been in the jungles. They've been in the deserts. They've been in the firefights. And that's what they told me. Nobody would make a day assault, especially when we have superior night vision. We could be sneaking in overland at night and accomplishing, having a far greater chance of accomplishing what we did. So I'm just curious about this. You know, Marxist, whatever you want to call the Democratic Party today, communist, Marxist, socialist, whatever you want to call them, they thrive on hate. That's why they want us. That's why they want me hating black people, and they want black people hating me, and Asian people hating these people, and you know, Hispanic people hating those people. You know, in reality, though, I can be friends with anybody. I don't care what color you are. If you're a good guy, I can be friends with you. But they don't want that. They just don't want it, so they have to keep all these things being agitated all the time, because it's only through instability, it's only through this breakdown of civil society, breakdown of social networks where people can get along, breaking down. I mean, I guess there are people out there today, Dave, that are still have 1950s Mississippi attitude, you know, on both sides. You know, those evil white people, those evil...
Well,
black
like
people.
The two white guys that killed the black jogger unarmed. Yeah, I mean, there's people like that, I agree.
There's still people out there. I mean, but overall, I don't think those people exist. I mean,
for the
overall,
most part,
I don't
no.
think they do.
But LeBron James would have you believe black men get hunted every time they leave the house.
Yeah.
This race crime of hate in Georgia is extremely unfortunate. Both men, if it is as it appears, deserve the death penalty. And that's all we can do is correct it. But for LeBron James to come out and imply that you and I are hunting black men, you know, he know where he can go. I want to say, I want to compare notes with you just for a minute. You and I share a mercenary, ex-mercenary source who now works for the federal government. Who I'm talking about.
Yes.
And then I talked to four other people who have Merc experience. Okay, also all ex-military. And to a person, they said pretty much what you said. Number one, if you were going to come ashore in a boat, you sure as heck wouldn't come in the middle of the day. It's like sending up a flare, here I am, come and get me.
Yeah.
And then the second thing they said is they don't buy the fact that they separated from their equipment. They said that made no sense whatsoever. And then four of the five said if they were planning this operation, they would come in low-flying helicopter, drop outside the target zone where they wouldn't be detected, or come in, as you said, overland. There was a split on that opinion. But everything you're saying, okay, has been validated by people I'm talking to. This was a setup. But, Bob, I want to give you one more thing to look at. There, at one time, when we go to war, and we're going to war, no question about it, we are going to have to contend with a Red Dawn invasion from our southern border, because 33 of 35 CELAC states in Latin America held a meeting 4 years ago, and they did not invite the United States and Canada. And many of these nations have been supplied with military hardware by Russia and mostly China. So having said that, let me just say this real quick. El Salvador used to be a training ground for a combination of Middle East terrorists and the cartels, and they were being given paramilitary training. And I've talked to eyewitnesses at the camps, like Kathy Rubio. Okay, now, El Salvador has been turned. They have a populist leader now who's friends with Trump. Southcom has sent forces there. Southcom has sent weapons there. They're militarizing the border. They expect to be attacked because of their allegiance. And then Trump used John Bolton like an old prostitute and then threw him away when Bolton opened up Colombia to put Marines in there. And the thinking was from Bolton, well, gee, we get to invade Venezuela now, and that's my job. And Trump fired him and kept the Marines there to guard the Darien Gap, which would keep South America from uniting with Central America. So Trump has taken positive anti-Red Dawn invasion measures. Now, let me go one more step, and then I want you to run with this. I think this fake coup in Venezuela being unfairly and really falsely applied to Donald Trump is going to tie his hands for any more anti-Red Dawn type of activities, and it also will allow the Chinese to get control of the gold, oil, and palladium in Venezuela before we can. What do you think?
Yeah, go, all of it, because people don't understand. World War III could easily start in Venezuela because it is a minerally rich country. Rare earth minerals, gold, and then, you know, palladium, all those things, oil. It is a very, very rich country, and, you know, what it's done, they're going to try to paint this as Trump's Bay of Pigs. And you know that it's some type of failed thing they're going to try to attach to Trump. And this is what you really pay attention to, is what's in between the lines. See who tries to rescue him. See who comes to their rescue. If it happens, I'm just conjecturing right now. If it happens, see who comes to the rescue, because I'm the savior. I'm the good guy. You see how that paints out, Dave?
I'm going to give you a couple names that I see. Adam Schiff's going to have conversations that are known to the public with Jesse Jackson. And Jesse Jackson, who is very much an agent of the Democratic Party and an aging agent, but is, and, you know, part of the deep state, is going to negotiate. Now, I'm just making a guess, but it'll be somebody like that. Or maybe even more obviously, how about the UN sends an envoy there to try to settle it and then chastise Trump for something he didn't do while they get the men out?
Yeah, for something they did, he'll chastise Trump. That's the last 4 years have been. Everything they've done, they've chastised Trump for doing it. I mean, good grief! I don't know how the man has put up with it. How his head doesn't explode at times, because I mean he has to look at this, and I'm sure he understands exactly what's going on. He's a bright guy, and just look and say these people are the absolute spawn of Lucifer, and they're blaming me for all that they are doing. I mean, again, so we see this, but it's always, you know, intelligence. You look at it in broad pictures and in micro and macro pictures. So if we look at each individual incident, it says something. But in and of itself, it's not maybe a game changer. The COVID thing is a game changer. That's the big penumbra right now that covers everything, is the COVID thing. And I would say this. Here's another conjecture on my part. So they, you know, Trump's, yeah, and who doesn't want to open the economy? I mean, more people are dying because they can't get their cancer treatments, their tuberculosis treatments, because the hospitals aren't taking them right now. So more people are dying because of those reasons than are dying from COVID. I mean, it makes no sense. But, okay, so here's the scenario. We have this thing in the, I mean, Tennessee is leading, thank God we have a very good governor, and he is leading the way on opening our state back up. We can have church. We can do restaurants. I mean, we can do these things. And all of a sudden, the country opens back up while the Democrats are either silent or they're objecting to it, which, of course, they're going to object to it because they don't want the mom and pop making money. They want everybody to be holding on them. So all of a sudden, then COVID-20 is released sometime in the early fall. And all of a sudden, you do have a high death rate because it's much more lethal virus. It's all Trump's fault. I mean, these people are that evil, Dave. I mean, they keep in mind, if I can take a live baby and cut its head open and cut its brain out to sell it, what won't I do? I mean, I would say there is nothing this side of hell I will not do. If you can conceive it, they'll do it. So, I mean, they're willingly destroying the economy. They have to know they're destroying the economy. they have to know I know just from a very, very good friend who had a report that was submitted to the governor, and it was showing that every social ill, home invasion, sexual assault, child abuse, alcoholism, drug abuse, all these things have gone up dramatically in Tennessee since the beginning of the lockdown. So the cost of what they're doing is exponentially more than the event itself, and they know this. And so if they're willing to do this and keep everything on lockdown, and so they can get their mail-in ballots, which they could then cheat themselves into in a presidential election win, they will release another virus, I'm guessing early fall, right before the election, have it sweep through everything before anybody can realize what's happened, before anybody can realize, look at the numbers, before anybody can do anything. It'll be that, you know, that last, you know, right the election night when the commercial comes out, you know, your opponent has committed adultery and raped children, those commercials that come out. And all of a sudden there's no reality to them at all. There's no a basis of fact to them at all. It's totally a slander commercial. And it's designed to have everybody turn against that one candidate. That's what they're going to do as we approach the election. If there is an election, whatever kind of election we have, what kangaroo election the Democrats want to dream up, whatever that is, I expect that kind of Hail Mary pass on their part, and, you know, the desperation pass to absolutely poison the electorate against Trump, and if that means releasing a virus that really does kill lots of innocent young people, I'll cut a baby's brain out, but I won't release a virus.
Yeah, no. Bob, they don't even need to release a new virus, although I'm hearing those same rumors I think you're alleging coming out of Africa. But to me, I can't pin that down concretely yet, but I'll say this. When they had their policies from the COVID-19 conflicted strategy team, where every one of these people have allegiances to Bill and Melinda Gates or groups like the pharmaceutical company Eli Lilly, when they came out with their guidelines, they said that to get into phase one, two things have to happen initially. One, you have to have a reduction in, quote, flu-like symptoms. Wait a minute. We agreed to the lockdown because this is so much worse than the flu. Now they're throwing the flu-like symptoms into their second condition, which is you must have a reduction in COVID-19 symptoms and cases. So they're combining the flu with COVID-19 to inflate the numbers. And what happens in the fall? Flu season. So a natural event is going to be used to blame Trump. And then the second thing, I don't know if you caught this yesterday, I wrote a huge article on a letter from the FDA commissioner where he basically admits the test kits are worth nothing. He said, we haven't had time to test them, but we'll leave that up to the test manufacturer and talk about the fox watching the hen house. And they said, if you don't like that, then the labs can do it. Like, that's like looking under the hood after you buy the car. So right now, the testing that we have is illegitimate. It's not proven scientifically. It's all conjecture. So, Bob, you wrap all of what I just said into a box. It's all designed to win an election.
Yeah, and keep in mind, we always look at intelligence as the macro and the micro. You have to keep that in mind. You know, I see people, they want to interpret the Bible with just one news story, and you can't do that. That's very bad, what they call hermeneutics, very, very poor hermeneutics. But if you look at the sum of everything going on, like Jesus said, the sum of what will happen before he returns, then that's the macrocosm of it. You can look at the microcosm of like end time signs, and then you look at the macrocosm of end time signs. If they both line up, if they both start saying something, you might want to pay attention. And so what I also say is, if you have a Marxist revolution going on, you want to look at the macro signs and the micro signs, the macrocosm and the microcosm of what's going on. And if they both line up, if they're both going in that direction, you might want to pay attention, because that's what we have going on right now. We have all these little macro events going on under this penumbra of the macrocosm of virus and all this other stuff that they're doing, and it's designed to bring about this end-time global empire, the one-world government, one-world religion, one-size-fits-all. You have to have your identity card before you can do anything, Mark of the Beast stuff. It's all there, Dave. All you have to do is look at them and how to interpret and understand the intelligence, and when you do that, it paints a very, very dramatic and distinct picture. And so, getting that, always we always want to give solutions to people. The solution is, first of all, Psalm 91. Hide yourself in the shadow of the Almighty, because that's the only protection you're going to have in these days. You can you can have all the stuff in the world. You can have the best Navy SEAL guys and Green Berets in your group, but in the end of the day, if you don't have the protection from the Almighty, you're going to found lacking, and it's not going to work. So the first and foremost thing that we need in this day is to be under the shadow of the Almighty, be in His good grace, following Him, and having our relationship with Him built on the solid rock that's Jesus Christ, not on the sand. And there's so much false doctrine and false preachers out there today that have placed their whole churches, all their parishioners, all the sheep are standing on the sands of the beach, and when the big wave comes in and washes them out, we're going to go, what happened? I know what happened. You weren't on the rock that doesn't give, it doesn't move, it doesn't shift. That's where your feet need to be. And so we see this happening right now. And so that's the first and foremost thing, is having your relationship there, having that moral strength, the moral strength that the three Hebrew children had, that allowed Daniel to be thrown into the lion's den, that allowed Peter to be crucified upside down, and to allow the early Christians to be go into the arena and be eaten by lions.
Yeah.
And if you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, that strength those people had to say, no, we're not
doing it. Your words are causing me to become so angry right now, because every pastor needs to reflect on the sacrifices of the people you just mentioned, the people who loved Christ, and what they were willing to sacrifice, and how horrible their deaths were, and they won't even open their church.
No, they won't open their church, and they won't open their mouth. And if they open their mouth, it's the platitudes. Your best life now. I mean, if your best life is now, you don't know the God of the Bible, because my best life is not now. My best life is going to be after I pass from this mortal flesh into the immortal realm, and that's my best life. When I see Him face to face, when I stand in His presence, and I hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter the joy of the Lord." That's my best life. If your best life is here, if you're saving up treasures here, if you want to get the big house, the big car, all the women, whatever you want, or the men, whatever, you're gonna find out that bank account is not gonna be accessible when you stand before God, because it's gonna be a deficit account. It's not going to be sufficient to carry that day. And so first and foremost, that's where we need to be. And then second of all, Dave, I mean, we have the examples in the Scripture, and we've harped on this and said it 100 times, and I know probably everybody listening right now, the supply chain is deliberately sabotaged. It's very difficult to get things right now, but you need to get in line and get them. Dave, I don't know what your food supply is, but what the waiting time is, but you need to get in line. It doesn't matter. Put it this way. Let's just say worst case scenario. You order a year's worth of food from Dave, and you give him X amount of money to do it, and the whole thing collapses. Your money's not going to be worth anything anyhow,
exactly.
So you're not going to have lost anything, because your money's not going to be worth anything. You don't think you can put $11 trillion into the economy somehow or another and not have it absolutely destroy our economy? I mean, come on. I mean, there are people in the grave that can think better than that. I mean, $11 trillion is going to absolutely destroy our economy. So right now, while you still can, taking those pieces of green little worthless paper notes that they have and transferring into stuff that is tangible, and I can promise you the elites are doing this. They're building their bunkers. They're putting everything in them. They're having their guns, their ammunition, their security, all that's going into their bunkers. It's happening. And so right now, if you get in line, I'm just telling you, with any company, any preparation company right now, be prepared to wait, because the supply chain has been deliberately sabotaged. There's been a nuclear weapon that has gone off in the supply chain, and it's going to get far worse. The meat crisis is coming, and it is going to be absolutely catastrophic when it hits, because
the meat crisis has already started.
Yeah,
I mean, one-fourth of all Wendy's that won't take a dangerous foreign beef, they can't get, one-fourth of restaurants can't get their beef. But in terms of who I represent, MPS and our storable food company, they've reduced the delivery times by about a third. And it depends on your part of the country, and it depends on the bulk of your order. But the times have been significantly reduced. the bottom line is, food acquisition is everyone's business right now. And I'm going to give the example, Bob, of everything you're saying is true by one, just one example. Here in Arizona, they sent nurses who were in the National Guard to New York City to help with the overflow, supposedly, of COVID-19 patients. So we have all these packing plants that have to process our food, primarily meat. They're closing because supposedly their staff got COVID-19.
Yeah.
Okay, why aren't we sending the National Guard in so farmers don't have to slaughter millions of cows, millions of poultry, to create these shortages that are coming? Why? Well, I can tell you why. Trump, somehow, under USC 42, which gives power to the Surgeon General in these cases, and basically Fauci has usurped that from the Surgeon General, but these people have basically said, you're not going to do this. But do you not agree we could send the National Guard in right now and keep those plants open and keep the food supply rolling?
It's more simple than that. All we have to do is declare it a virus-free zone like Walmart or like Lowe's. They're virus-free zones because they operate just as business as normal, but viruses can't go in there, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I'm dripping sarcasm.
That's
right,
like a gun-free zone, same thing.
I know. You see how effective they are. But, I mean, if I had to say, if you want an example, you know, the government... Everybody's good for an example, even if it's for a bad one. Well, everything the government's done has been good for a bad example of what not to do. Everything they've done. I mean, how? Where are all the sick Walmart employees, Lowe's employees, Home Depot employees? Where are all those people sick at? I mean, they're operating just as normal. And remember, the virus can go from here to Mars in 2 seconds and kill everybody in its path. I mean, dripping with sarcasm. But so we don't see this happening in the virus-free zones. But if they declare you a virus zone where the virus can obviously go there because they haven't made it against the law for the virus to go there, I mean, again, dripping with sarcasm, it doesn't make any sense. So this is a deliberate taking down of the supply chain, a deliberate taking down of small business. And so, you know, with Walmart, if small business, you can walk into a small business and give $50 and take out some food and cans and whatever. At Walmart, I mean, you take out whatever, it's all doot-doot across their little reader. Everything is recorded. Everything. And so that's what they want. You can't buy or sell, according to what the scripture says, what's coming, without this mark. So they want to take the small business out. And so they're going to break the supply chain down. They're going to break the infrastructure down. They're going to restrict your ability to do business privately, just like medical right now. I mean, if you go and get a test done, a COVID test, and you test positive, the sheriff can come and detain you.
Yeah, and those tests, as I said, are not valid, and people need to understand this.
So exactly. So it's you have to look at this. It's done for an ulterior motive. So right now, get your food. Get your water filtration. You know, I mean, fortunately, I can tell you people are buying a lot of radio equipment. And we've actually got a huge shipment of it in, of radios, both shortwave radios and transmitting radios. Again, you need a license if you're going to be talking on ham radio. We do the night vision. It's expensive, but I'll tell you, we had NC Scout down here. He teaches radio courses, Burst Beater. That's his website. And we went out night shooting. The first time he'd been out night shooting since he'd been over in the sandbox. And the equipment's improved a lot. And he was like, oh my gosh. I mean, we were just, you know, Steele's 100 yards away, and we were just sitting there, ping, 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 hitting it every time. And, you know, multiple targets, I have multiple Steele downrange, so you can just change targets and hit. And it's just like, it's a very dark night. You can't see your hand in front of your face type stuff, but we could see these 8-inch pieces of steel and just be putting the lasers on it. It's an infrared laser, you can't see it, and just ping, ping, ping. So it's incredible. He was like, oh my gosh. Like, everybody looks at it, they go, oh my gosh. And, you know, then we started looking up at the sky, and you just definitely see that, if it's not blinking and it's moving across the sky, it's a satellite. And you can just see all the satellites moving across the sky. You know, God knows what they're doing up there. I know some of them are innocent, some of them are...
They're watching you, Bob. They're watching you.
Whatever they're doing it. Because if it's a plane, it's blinking. It has blinking lights on it. So if it's moving across the sky and it's not blinking, it's an artificial satellite.
You just mentioned a couple of your products. The radio equipment, you sent me a listener. Appreciate that. Thank you very much. I've got my night vision on the way. And
yes, you do.
You've convinced me that there's no substitute for this, and I agree with you. Give us kind of a litany of what your store offers that's available that you think people need as a starter set for preparation.
Well, I'm just going to tell you up front, I mean, we're at least 2 weeks behind on orders right now because, again, 70% of our orders are from new customers, and I don't think a lot of new people understand that the supply chain has had a nuclear bomb go off in it. And I know it's just not me because I talk to other people. I talk to a lot of the big suppliers, you know, just water filter, different companies, and there are thousands of units behind. I mean, it's just there. And so, you know, we sell lots of products, but be prepared to wait. I'm just going to be honest with you. Be prepared to wait. The night vision radio, we can get out pretty quickly. But everything else, it's just be prepared to wait. But what's the alternative? If you can get it somewhere cheaper, quicker, somewhere else, I mean, I just encourage you this time, do it. Do it. Because I know the supply chain, Dave, it is bankrupted. It's completely broken down. I remember for years I said on your program, it takes 60-some steps to put a plant-based food on your plate, a potato, a piece of corn, a tomato on your plate, because you got to think of all the gasoline, all the ink, the printers, the cans, the packaging, the transportation, the roads, the people picking it, the fertilizer companies, all those things come into play to put a tomato on your plate.
Not my plate. I got a garden. But anyway, yeah, I know what you're saying.
But some states you can't buy seeds because, God forbid, you know, that's not a necessary piece of stuff right now.
The agenda is being unveiled. Food is a weapon.
The macro and microcosm intelligence gathering thing. So with that, I mean, you know, if any supply chain that has 60-some steps in it to get you a product is a supply chain you better not be putting your life in trust in. Because it's going to kill you.
That's why the Common Sense Show is a proud advertiser of ready-made resources. Not only am I an advertiser, I'm a happy customer. Bob, give out your phone number and contact information, please.
Okay. I just tell you, our phones are busy. Keep trying. You will get through.
Yes.
800-627-3809. I do want to say, Dave, we are taking Sundays off right now.
Good.
My team needs a break. We've been going at this 4 months now, steady,
it's
nonstop.
Biblical.
And
it's biblical. And Bob, we're just about out of time, my friend. And I don't want to get cut off by the network. But again, readymaderesources.com. We'll be right back.